Last week I told you I have an old car, which one runs fine. But like all cars, every now and again, it needs some work. And since I'm not a car guy, it's not something I'm into, I have to trust my garage when I go to get some work done. You know, I don't have a clue about engines or suspensions or brake systems or anything else. I have to rely on the honesty and the integrity of the people who work there when I bring my car in to be fixed. Now, wouldn't it be amazing if we lived in a world where you could really trust the honesty and the integrity of everyone you know or encounter? Now, I happen to believe that, you know, generally people are honest and they try to do their work with integrity. But I'm not completely naive. There are times when people aren't truthful, where there isn't much honor. And I think to myself, wouldn't it be amazing if we lived in a world where everyone lived like St. Paul is urging the people of Philippi to do? St. Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, think about these things. And he goes on to say, keep doing these things. And wouldn't it be great if your mechanic or your financial advisor or your kid's teacher or your snow removal guy or your lawyer lived like that? If they sought whatever is true and just and commendable, wouldn't that make life so much easier, so much better? Wouldn't that visit to the mechanic or the financial advisor or lawyer be that much less stressful? In fact, probably not the lawyer, because you wouldn't even need a lawyer in a world like that. Wouldn't it be great if we sought after these things? And not just at home with your family or in your spiritual life with God, but what if in all your relationships with your neighbors, your colleagues, your coworkers, with your customers and your clients, if you sought what is good and just and commendable? What if you sought what is good and just and commendable for them? Last week, I talked about the idea that there is nothing, no part of you, no part of me, that Jesus hasn't known and experienced. And if you didn't hear that homily, Father Ray, if you didn't hear that homily, it was a doozy. You ought to go back and it's on the website. It's on our YouTube channel. You can take a listen. But I was talking about the idea that there is no part of human nature that Jesus hasn't experienced himself. And there is no part of our human nature that he doesn't want to make better and infuse with his spirit. And that includes your work life. Think about it. There are basically two or three areas where we directly affect the world: our family life, our social life, and our work life. God wants to be part of all of them. And sometimes as a church, we focus on the first and the second, and we really haven't emphasized the third all that much. And Dorothy Sayers, an English writer, she once wrote that the church's approach to an intelligent carpenter is usually confined to exhorting him not to be drunk and disorderly in his leisure hours and to come to church on Sundays. It's usually the church's approach to the intelligent priest too: don't be drunk and disorderly and come to church on Sundays. But anyway, but she goes on to say, what the church should be telling him is this: that the very first demand that his religion makes upon him is that he should make good tables. Making good tables is honorable and commendable if we're doing it because of God's love for us. And let's face it, making good tables is probably very pleasing to Jesus, who was himself a carpenter. Your work is probably the place where you interact with the most people. Some you may know, but others who you're just encountering for the first time. That's where you can have an impact. That's where your faith ought to have a huge impact. Today, Jesus' parable is about a work situation. It's about tenants working in the Lord's vineyard. In fact, most of Jesus' parables involve work. Laborers in the field getting their wages at the end of the day, or the talents given to three servants, or even the prodigal son. He's working with pigs, and he wants to go home because he hopes to be able to work as his father's servant. Work is a major part of most parables because it is a major part of our lives. And it was front and center in Jesus' teaching about the kingdom. You know, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God, Jesus says. It is like a mustard seed that a man took and planted. Work. What you and I do, our labor, is terribly important. It matters. And it doesn't just matter if you're a doctor or a nurse saving lives. It matters if you are a carpenter building tables. It matters if you're a garbage man or even if you're a lawyer. It matters to God. It matters to you and your family. And it matters to building the kingdom. In fact, it is how you can build the kingdom. It is how you can change the world. That's what Jesus is calling us to build the kingdom and change the world. And now, I get it. When I say things like that, changing the world, building the kingdom, people get a little apprehensive. They think that if they allow God to come into all parts of their life, it'll mean that he's calling them to quit their job, go off to Malawi or someplace and work with the poor. And yes, if God is calling you to that, then yes. But for the vast majority of us, it isn't about quitting your job. It's about bringing God's holiness into your job. And in some ways, that's actually a harder thing to do. You know, let's look at Matthew, the gospel writer we read about today, or that we read today, that we read today. Matthew, whose Hebrew name was Levi, was a tax collector prior to being called to leave his job and follow Jesus. He was a sinner in the eyes of his people. And Jesus calls him into something different. But Jesus talked and sat and ate with lots of sinners, with a number of tax collectors. And many of them, we know that many of them had their life changed by Jesus. But none of them stopped being a tax collector. No other one other than Matthew stopped, quit their job. They stayed in a job that was reviled. And they tried to bring honesty and integrity into their work. They tried to bring dignity into their work. It isn't the nature of the work that matters. It's the nature of those who benefit from it that lends work dignity. It means because you're working with people or doing something for someone else, it means that it is worth doing well and with integrity. How many of you really wouldn't sign up for a job that meant a big part of your day was spent cleaning up after people who'd soiled themselves or threw up on themselves? Let's say an orderly in a nursing home, or a PAB as we call them here. How many of you would sign up for that job? Yet how many of you did those very same things for years for your children? Why did you do it? Because you loved your daughter, your son. And doing those things meant that they could be healthy and reach their full potential. What if you loved God that much? What if you saw each and every one of his children as precious? As precious as your little child. Well, then working in that nursing home, that has incredible amount of honor. Because you are giving another precious child of God their dignity. You can do it for a paycheck. And then whether or not you do it well, as long as you're getting the paycheck, it doesn't really matter. But if you're doing it because that person that you're serving is a precious child of God, suddenly that work has incredible meaning, has incredible value, has incredible honor and dignity to it. And so if you are working, regardless of the job, in a way where you try to put God first, where you see your coworkers and clients as God's precious children, no matter the work, if you're trying to do it in a way that is honorable and pure and commendable, as St. Paul says, well, let me, first of all, be the first one to say thank you. I thank God for you. And I rejoice in his presence in your life. And let me also say that it is commendable, that it does matter. That work matters. It matters to you and your integrity. It matters to the people around you. It matters to Jesus. And it matters to building up his kingdom. And because of that, it matters to me. It matters to our parish. Last week, I asked, you know, what is right in the world? And I hope and I pray that you are able to answer, I am. I want you to be what is right and just and true and honorable and pleasing and pure and commendable in our world. I want you to be that light of the world, to be that light in all aspects of your life, including your work. This is one of the best ways that you can honor God, that you can love your neighbor. This is one of the best ways that you can find happiness in your own life. My work is to build a parish that helps you see God in your life, that helps you place God in your work, to build a parish where you can find encouragement and support, where you can encounter not only God who wants to be part of your entire life, but also people who can accompany you on that journey. The place where you can find hope and strength to carry on in adversity. Where you can find people willing to share, as St. Peter says, the reason for the hope that is in you. That reason is God. That reason is God who created the world and all the resources you use. That reason is God who created you with your talents and skills and your intelligence and your dignity. That reason is God who created each and every one of us in his image and likeness. That reason is the Father who is so madly in love with you. He gave up his own son so that you could be with him. The church I want, the church I am committed to build, is the church that will help you bring God into every part of your life. The church that will help you bring God into our city, into our world. The church that will help you transform our city into the light of the world. A bright, shining light. Where nursing homes are in the glimmering glass towers that people flock to downtown. Not law firms. A great city where no construction firm would use substandard materials and no city official would expect a handout because they are helping to build something for another one of God's precious children. I want a church where your mechanic is in the pew in front of you, praising God along with you, building the kingdom along with you. I want St. Ignatius to be the place, whether it's online or in person, where together we learn how to praise God. We learn how to put him first. We learn how to produce abundant, multiplying fruit. I want this to be the place where we find fruitfulness in our families, our friendships, and our work. where we can recognize and share how our life is made better by God, how our work is made better by God, and how we can experience the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding in every part of our life. I want that peace in my life. I don't just want it on Sundays. I want it each and every day of my life. And I hope you want that peace in yours. And I don't know how to get it except by working together to build His kingdom, to produce abundant fruit. That's what I'm committed to, building a church that multiplies the number of people who can say that following Jesus has made every part of their life better. Who can, like St. Paul wants for the people of Philippi, like I want for each and every one of you, who can experience the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, and a people who can bring that peace to others.